baseball nuts, a big warm welcome to the best seat in the house if fantasy is your game, behind home plate, with me, Johnny Gould, and my good friend and fantasy legend, Mr. James Holden. Jimbo, lovely to see you.
Hello, JJ. Yeah, lots to chat about today, and not that much time. We are in a rush, are we not, I'm afraid.
we're not exactly men of leisure, so yes, you're absolutely right. Episode 12, can you believe it, mate? Fantastic.
We've already done well.
Yeah, 12 weeks in, fantastic. Now, obviously, we want everybody to be involved. That's the nature of what we do here, so do email us if you've got a question or an inquiry, or you just even want a reference. BehindHomePlatePod@gmail.com, and obviously, anybody that does email in, Jimbo will be responding in great detail because he's got so much spare time. You can contact us on Twitter at BHP Pod, or you can contact us directly on our own Twitter handles. Mine is at Johnny M Gould, M for Michael, and James is on at Jam99. Don't even ask where that's come from. Now, we've had a few people getting in touch. Mike Doherty and Colin. Now, you're going to have to help me here, Jimbo. I don't want to mispronounce Colin's name. Wait, you have a stab at it first.
I see. My Scottish accent's really helping. Yeah. Colin Fakeney, I think. That's what I'm going for.
See, I'm an eighth Scottish, so I should really know. So, Colin, I hope that's the right pronunciation. Thank you for getting in touch. Both massive big Red Sox fans. And Mike sent in some awesome picks of him and the family at Fenway Park. Fantastic. And one of my all-time favourite experiences going to Fenway in 2004. I encourage any baseball fan, if you ever get across the pond, you've got to go to Wrigley and you've got to go to Cooperstown and you've got to go to Fenway. They've got to be the top of your list, regardless of who you support.
Fab. Hello to those guys, but also I just want to say hello to everybody who's in our Behind Home Plate Rookie League, which is really taking off. And I've been amazed about quite how passionate everybody is, how many trades are going down, etc. But I would say we are a manager down. So out of the 20 person in it, we've lost a manager. So if you are listening enviously and go, I wish I'd put my name forward, I wish I'd been up for it, we have a team spare. It's a good team. It's currently in the playoffs. If you want to take over that team, just drop us an email, behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com, please.
It's a very good team, so much so that can I take it over and let the newbie take my team? Would that be okay? Anyway, let's look forward to what we've got on tonight's show. We're going to have a quick look at the current World Series odds. We're well enough into the season to start looking at that, see if there's any value to be had. Then we're going to be looking at what's driving MLB team performances so far. Who are the main category contributors as individuals, and therefore which teams, if you're a fantasy manager, you perhaps should be focusing if you've got certain categories that you want to address. Then, of course, we finish off in our traditional way with the suitcase and the Hail Mary. So let's start, first of all, on the World Series. Jimbo, third of the way through the season, October getting closer. Of course, it's not. We're not even into the summer. We always use an excuse to look at the World Series odds. And I'm assuming the Dodgers are still the favourites.
They are. So, yeah, it's interesting as ever. I love numbers, as you know, and you like betting. So this is always a helpful conversation. But the Dodgers, 3-1, most places you can get in the UK. And then after them, actually, it's quite a big gap then. It's the Yankees at 7-1, the Padres at 8-1, and the Yankees. And actually quite surprising, the other team in the top five is the Mets at 10-1, which certainly, to me anyway, was a bit of a surprise.
I suppose when the odds were being set, they were top of the East. But quite frankly, right now you could have five teams, and that includes the Nats being top of the East because nobody wants to win it. They're all going backwards and forwards. But the Mets had a little run and suddenly put a few games between them and the pack. But I think that's massively misjudged. I think you've got to be a really brave man to be tipping anybody up in the NL East. And this is the man that tipped the Braves to win it all at the beginning of the season.
You did, but we'll come back to this thing because I say the rest of the top 10. So after the Dodgers, Yankees, Padres, White Sox and Mets, you've then got Houston, you've got the Oakland A's, you've got the Boston Red Sox, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Atlanta Braves. Actually, I think there's some really interesting value within that lot.
Now there is. And it's a perfect example. Buddy. I always love to back the majors in the golf. I don't do any other golf betting at all, but I always love to have a few quid on the majors. And I've got to the point now where I never, ever back anyone before round one. I always back after round one when you can see the way of the land, because there's nothing more frustrating than having a short price favorite like a Dustin Johnson who starts out at sort of, you know, sort of 6, 7, 8 to 1, and he's actually out of contention after the first round. And I sort of feel there is value to be had because we're only a third of the way into the season. These are good teams who haven't had a great start. Now their odds are real value, because if they get onto a run with the ability they have, I agree with you. I think there's some definite value to be had there.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's actually about the Braves. We try not to talk excessively about the Braves, but for the Atlanta Braves to be out to 20 to 1, almost 24 to 1 in some places, we have sensational hitting. There is a trade deadline to come. We can acquire some pitching. I think that's a brilliant value, actually, for the Braves.
I'd say the same thing about Toronto, who have been hitting the skin off the ball and yet are, well, where are they? Fourth in the AL East. 25 to 1, you can get them. Springer still to come back. Vlad, as we know, on fire. Possible MVP at the end of the season. You mentioned the trade deadline, though, Jimbo. Both Toronto and the Braves, they need pitching. Who's going to be available? Who can they go for?
I think that's going to be a very good question. I mean, I think there's quite a lot of teams down there, down the other end. I think Arizona might be a team that maybe might start shipping off a few pitchers. We'll have to see. I think there will be some surprising trades this year. And actually, the price for pitching might be quite high.
Zach Gallen, maybe?
I think I wouldn't personally take on. I'd love to have him on with us, but I wouldn't be taking on that injury risk this season. But yeah. I don't know, Merrill Kelly. I don't know who, but I think that's where you'll find somebody, some sort of veteran pitchers who definitely, you know, will get to the end of the season and will get, you know, 150 plus innings. We've talked about this already. I think there will be an absolute dearth of starting pitching in the second half of the season.
Okay, well, if you're a massive outside punter, and I know you are, Jimbo, you've always been a man who goes for the outsider. You know, if you're brave enough, Pirates, Orioles, Rockies, D-backs, you go to the right place, you can get 750 to 1. I mean,
and I still don't think you'll be getting a penny back on that bet either.
No, I'm not suggesting that you will. But you know, if you are an Orioles fan, I mean, you know, a couple of quid. Who's going to notice a couple of quid? Price of a pint of beer, 751. You know.
I think it says a lot about the disparity in baseball at the moment, to be honest. I think, to me, that the fact that, you know, third into the way into the season, you've got some teams at 3 to 1 and others at 750 to 1 really tells you that baseball at the moment is not an equal playing field, and that's not a great situation for me.
Yeah, and I hate to see it. 3 to 1 at this stage of the season, normally I would shy massively away from that and say there's no value. I'm not so sure, actually. I think they're such a good side, the Dodgers, that I think 3 to 1 is actually not bad value at all. Anyway, let's move on. Section number two. We want to just focus on the sort of the categories, the individual categories, which players have been driving which teams to being with the most runs, most home runs, the pitching side of things. We'll just focus, if it's right with you, this week on hitting, and we'll get on to pitching next week. So batting average in MLB. This is a frightening stat. This is the average in the whole of Major League Baseball this year. Year thus far, Jimbo, 236. 236 is a league average.
Hello, it's really odd. I mean, it's if it remains at that level, I mean, we haven't got to the summer when traditionally batting improves, it warms up, balls start flying out of the stadiums, but that would be actually be the lowest average in the history of Major League Baseball.
Wow.
So really, really worrying. So I mean, and I think for certainly in terms of fantasy, we just need to start adjusting our expectations. So looking at a team and go, oh, I've only got an average of 240, actually you're doing better than the league as a whole. So we all just need to bring that down. On base percentage as well, similarly, it is lower than we would normally expect.
Now, obviously, you just mentioned the record. For those of our listeners that are keen to know what the record is, 1968, 237. So it really is right on the line at the moment. The big question, is it just about the balls? Everybody's talking about the dodgy balls, Jimbo, the de-juiced balls. There's nothing worse for a man than a de-juiced ball. Is that the sole cause of this problem?
I think it must be something to do with it. I mean, there's a lot of commentary out there by people who I think are more knowledgeable than you and I, but certainly it is a factor. And, you know, I've seen lots of people sort of say that the balance has never been tipped more in the favour of starting pitchers. Equally, we've got some sensational hitting performances night after night after night. So I'm not that worried. And I do think, again, as the temperature warms up, typically so do offenses across the year. And the thing we've talked about, because so many starting pitchers didn't have, you know, a full 6 month season last year, they had this hugely truncated season. I think you will find an awful lot of good starting pitchers not going all the way through the season. So again, I think you'll find that the offensive stats do go up later in the year.
I think what amazes me is when you look at the comparison between average and on base percentage. I mean, you've got teams that, you know, you would expect, considering they're doing well, Houston's team average for batting average at the moment, 268, Boston 260, doesn't sound that impressive. But then when you flip it into OBP, the White Sox have got an OBP, a team OBP of 343, the Dodgers 342. I mean, those are great numbers as a team average. There is a bizarre relationship between OBP and batting average, which is actually why I like and prefer an OBP in a fantasy baseball sense.
I think it's, we've always said, it's much more interesting from a fantasy point of view because you've got players getting on base even if they don't get a hit. So, you know, you feel your team has achieved something and move forward. I also think it's the changing nature of the game. It's interesting that those are what both you and I would say, you know, I think both of us probably said that's a potential World Series final, the White Sox against the Dodgers, that both of those teams are really focusing on a philosophy of getting teams on base. If you're not on base, you can't score a run. So I think that's not a surprise that those two teams are up the top there. Yeah.
So talk to me about runs then. No surprises that who's at the top of the pile, because they're the teams doing well, the likes of the Dodgers and the Red Sox.
Yeah, so if you needed runs, the teams, the top run scorers in Major League Baseball this season so far are the Red Sox, Tampa, the Dodgers and the Astros. So if you need runs, you need RBI, those are the teams to target, because even quite what you might think of as average non-star players in those lineups are still getting an awful lot of runs and RBIs.
What slightly surprises me is that at the bottom of the pile is we've got the Mets and the Pirates. Now, obviously, it suggests that the Mets pitching is doing a good job. And we should point out the Mets, I think, have played 8 to 10 games less than most teams. So inevitably, their numbers are a bit subdued, but only 148 runs as of today, today's recording, to their name. The Pirates, 161. No surprise there. We knew they were going to be basement dwellers. So that would suggest that despite the Mets' success at the moment, being a above 500, top of the NL East, they're not a team to focus on when it comes to hitting.
No, I mean, they've been decimated by injuries. I mean, I think, you know, many of us feel our fantasy teams have been, but the Mets at the moment, everybody is beating up on the Mets for the last few days. They've got quite so many injuries, but it's very hard seeing it. We talked a lot about Jacob deGrom going out there week after week with sensational start after sensational start and not getting any run support. It's a tough time, and I think the Mets will be in the trade market early to capitalize on that pitching. They've got to find somebody to get a few runs in there to give them a chance, because they've got a decent chance of certainly getting to the playoffs.
Now, if we move on to home runs, we actually had a conversation last night, and you actually asked me, because you were doing the research for this, who do you think's top of the pile? And I after about seven guesses, I gave up. And I can't believe, considering our travails, it's our team, the Atlanta Braves, with 80.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, you've got Austin Riley, you've got Ronnie Acuna, you've got Freddie Freeman. There are a lot of home run hitters. I think the challenge for the Braves is not to be so dependent on the long ball. Actually, we need to work the rest of the rest of the offense round, and not necessarily start playing small ball, but a more consistent 1-9 performance of doing exactly what we said, getting on base. The Braves' on base percentage is not that high. We're simply, you know, it's a 3-3 outcomes thing, isn't it? You know, we're just not getting enough people on base and not getting enough people knocked in. So there's an awful lot of solo home runs.
And interestingly, for those fantasy baseball managers that like to pick a team on the basis of their love, i.e. The BBC legend that is Simon Cross always picks Toronto Blue Jays, which is why his team has always suffered in previous seasons, because they ain't been very, very good. This season, they're phenomenal. Crossy is reaping the benefits because they're in second place with 74. But a surprising one for me is Oakland with 70 in third alongside Cincinnati, which doesn't surprise me.
No, Cincinnati, a great ballpark to hit, and we know, and quite a few home run hitters. Castellanos has been superb. Eugenio Suarez always does well. But I think that's the thing, that the A's, on the other hand, they are a very good ball club. We have picked them to win the American League West. I see no reason why that's not going to take place. But they've actually, their offense, again, people like Matt Olson, is built very much around power hitters. So, you know, it's a big ballpark to get out of as well. So we shall see whether that's still the same at the end of the season.
And Jed Lowry was hitting home runs early doors, and he wasn't somebody that a lot of people targeted in fancy pickups early on, but I don't think you'll find him on the waiver wire much longer. Not surprising, Pirates, Mets, both struggling with the home runs, so you've already mentioned struggling with the runs as well. But if we move on to stolen bases, and one team, the Padres, way out in front with 58.
Yeah, I think this is interesting because stolen bases, there's a slight amount of sort of luck and element and who's the manager. Does the manager want them to, you know, some people are really keen on stolen bases. Others aren't part of their offense. But it's the lead. I mean, there are three teams who are stealing for fun. But the Padres are at miles. I mean, 58 stolen bases so far. The nearest to them is the Kansas Royals on 36, the Kansas City Royals on 36. And then the Texas Rangers on 34. Those three teams, absolutely. If you need stolen bases, target those three teams because obviously they've got the green light to run whenever they like and are doing extremely well. On the flip side, you've got teams like the Cincinnati Reds. They've only had 10 stolen bases all season. And the Yankees and Astros, again, are not teams that are running this season. And again, maybe making some people really look at their teams and wonder why it hasn't quite worked out on that front. There seems to be very, very different team ethoses in terms of the importance of stolen bases to their offense.
And I would point out that another factor in that, I think, is age. It's not just an ethos. It's not just an attitude. You know, the Yankees have got a lot of old-timers in that lineup. Astros aren't the youngest. Padres, they're young teams. These are young teams. They, you know, they're mavericks. They're crazy kids. Anyway, okay, so those are the teams you've got to focus on. Now, as I mentioned, because that's a real interesting insight from a fantasy perspective, we will be focusing on pitching next week, but unfortunately, we haven't got time for it this week because we have got some juicy suitcase potential for you in Section 3. Just a reminder for any new listeners, the suitcase is where we ask James to find us players that are rostered in less than 20% of all ESPN league teams. This is obviously fantasy baseball. And you've come up with some great names to date. Give us, and the one at the top of this list, I'm very excited to see.
I know. It always disappoints me to put somebody in the suitcase who Johnny actually traded for only yesterday in one of our leagues. So it's happy. So I've put him back in again. I think this is his third week in a row. William Contreras of the Atlanta Braves. He's still there. He's still not rostered in 20% of leagues. He scored another home run in the past week. He's hitting really well.
Yeah. And you look at his OBP as well. If you're in an OBP league, he's a great pickup. Okay, some other names that we haven't heard before.
Brad Miller, third base of the Phillies. He's a very streaky hitter, but he's red hot at the moment. Two home runs, stolen base in the last week. I've got him in several places, and I'm very happy. And as long as there's a number of injuries in the Phillies lineup, I think he'll still getting those at-bats in the short to medium term. More longer-term play, Willie Adames. He's, of course, been traded from Tampa over to Milwaukee. Really good place to hit, and I think he'll feel there's much less threat to his position. There's no Wander Franco about to remove him from the starting lineup any second. And actually, he's really hot at the moment as well. And then if you need an outfielder, slightly unheralded, a guy called Trevor Larnach of Minnesota. He's playing every day. He's only rostered in 6% of leagues. As he was quite a well-regarded prospect, but came up very much in the shadow of Alex Kirilloff. So Alex Kirilloff has been the exciting prospect. Trevor Larnach is arguably less exciting, but, you know, arguably just quite a steady player who will get on base, get some runs, get some RBIs, and almost certainly available in your league.
And interesting, still available, in, you know, only rostered in 20% or less. I didn't know that. What about pitching? Who have you got for us on that front?
I'm still for now trying to focus on pitchers who you might keep for a few weeks. The reality is we will soon move on to sort of pitchers you've got a great next two starts or something like that. But for now, in terms of, sort of the best of the rest, I'm going to focus Merrill Kelly of Arizona. We mentioned him earlier. So actually, he's been pitching really well for the D-backs recently. He's had, I think the Dodgers he was up against last week and the Giants, two really good starts up against both of those teams, quite a few strikeouts. Only rostered in 6% of leagues. He was pretty solid 2 years ago. And so, yeah, if you really are absolutely beset with injuries, he's somebody who I think will do an okay job for you.
You got any closers? Any new closers? Because as you know, you're not my favourite person at the moment. Because I mean, I should clarify for our listeners: Jumbo hits very much more often than he misses. Sadly, when he misses, it's almost inevitably when I pick the player up because I am Johnny the Jinx. As we
true. This is still about Stephen Crichton of the Diamondbacks too.
I dropped yesterday, Jumbo.
Finally, since he went in the suitcase, I don't think he's picked up a single save. But
I think what he has picked up, he's picked up a load of earned runs and ruined my blooming ratios.
He has.
I'm not bitter.
There'll be more of those, but yes, I suppose it's focusing on the strike rate, isn't it? That hopefully we get more hits than misses. Hansel Robles, Minnesota. So the Twins seem to have moved into a kind of a committee for their closer gig. I still think Rogers will get the majority of them, but Robles has got two saves in the last week, and he's only rostered in 10% of the league. So, you know, there is always stuff out there, and that is certainly something I would look at.
Okay, well, this is the big ask. This is, of course, the Hail Mary. Just for new listeners, this is for a player rostered in less than 1% of league. I may have to, given the fact that we've got an extended season or a normal season, I may actually give you some flexibility on this. I may, in future weeks, say 2% rostered, because I think 1% must be almost impossible.
Your generosity knows no bounds. But yeah, it's definitely getting harder. You know, we've had players earlier in the season who were... who started off as Hail Marys, and you know, Josh Rojas was one, and then he's up at some 80-90% of teams now. So, but it's much harder. But we've dug around and I've found one for you, which is, so I promised to go hitter this week. We've had quite a few pitchers recently, so I'm saying David Bote of Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
Again, I'm hoping that's how you pronounce his surname. Normally has second base and third base eligibility in many leagues, but with Nico Hoerner on the injured list, that means Bote is going to be in the starting lineup every day for the foreseeable future. We talked about warming up weather recently. Wrigley absolutely is somewhere where when the wind is blowing in the right way and the weather warms up, the balls suddenly start flying out of Wrigley. So that might be an interesting... I'm not saying he's going to be a league winner, but if you needed somebody in those positions, he's somebody I think won't be a disaster for you.
Fantastic, mate, as always. Well, that's it, guys. As mentioned, unfortunately, time is not on our side this week. Do hope you enjoyed episode 12. If you do want to get in touch, ask a question, need some advice, the email is, of course, behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com, or you can, of course, contact us on Twitter @BHPpod, or contact us directly for myself @JohnnyMGould, M for Michael, or Jumbo on @Jam99. And I'll obviously be back this weekend on the Johnny and Josh show. Hope you're all listening to that as well, for you fellow fancy nuts out there. And Jimbo, of course, and I will be back next week on Behind Home Plate to talk ever about the ups and the downs of the 2021 season so far and its implications for fantasy baseball. And don't forget, we'll also be focusing on the pitching stats and categories. Jimbo, what a legend you are, sir. You've squeezed me in between your very important working life.
A pleasure. This is much more fun than many of my other meetings during the day. But yeah, great to chat. And we will do it again next week.
Look forward to it, buddy. You've got 30 seconds to make your Zoom call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Do hope you'll have your company next week in the best seats in the house behind home plate.